I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin reading in just a moment in Galatians chapter 6 with verse 10. I hope this is the beginning of a series of messages I'll give from this book of the Bible. That's the plan, as God leads. I remember years ago when I first started out preaching, I would announce a subject in the morning I was going to speak on in the night. And someone would say to me, "How do you know what God wants you to say and you're not there yet?" I think those were serious people and sincere people. They made me think. But I think as we pray and plan and ask God to guide us, we'll follow the Lord as He guides us. And this is a book of the Bible I wanted to bring to you. And for my own benefit, and I trust for your benefit too. In this book of Galatians, we find the true Christian faith, what it really means to be a Christian. A Christian. The truth of Christianity. And we find the place of Christ. Because without Him, there is no Christian faith. Years ago, there was a little motto that was used in a certain school that said, "Salvation is through Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing." And I want us to come in this book of the Bible to Christ alone. Christ alone. The reason I do what I do as a Christian, I trust, is for Christ alone. I'm grateful to God that He received me as a sinner. There's nothing I could do to please Him with my actions or my deeds. But He invited me to come. And I came to Him, repenting of my sin and by faith, trusting the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. Now we're beginning at the end in this book, and then we hope to go to the beginning. So let's begin at the end, and then when we continue with the study, we'll go to the beginning. But I want to bring to your attention the intent of this book of the Bible. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression. It is found in the 14th verse of chapter 6 in Galatians. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The message of the Bible is the message of the cross. The message of the Christian life is the message of the cross. In this one verse, we have three crucifixions. You may wish to mark them. There's the crucifixion of Christ. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the crucifixion of the world, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And that's the crucifixion of self. And I unto the world. What does this mean? You know, we were going to sing about the cross in heaven. If you turn with me to the last book of the Bible, please, to the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you hold your place in Galatians 6. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11 of Revelation chapter 5. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ will be our song forever. Forever. And praise Him. Praise Him that we have this song. The song of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back with me to Galatians chapter 6, we're dealing with the crucifixion of Christ. Crucifixion was a common thing in the day in which Christ lived. Dr. W.A. Criswell, a man I greatly admired while he was alive in his ministry at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, wrote, and I read that he wrote, historians say that from the time of Pontius Pilate, to the time of Titus, at least 30,000 people who were Jews were crucified in the land of the Bible. Think of that. 30,000, if the historians are accurate. But one crucifixion was different from all the others. Imagine there were 30,000 Jews crucified during that time. Just imagine. 29,999 of them were mere men crucified as malefactors, like those who were on crosses beside our Lord Jesus. But one of them, that 3,000th we talk about, 30,000th, if there were 30,000. I'm trying to say to you that to people passing by, it may have just been an ordinary thing to see Jesus die on the cross, but it was a crucifixion with divine meaning. That crucifixion was different from all other crucifixions. Because God, who became a man without ceasing to be God, died for you and for me. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when he became sin for us, sin was punished. The debt we fully owed, he fully paid when he died on the cross for you and for me. We died with him. Our debt was paid. He owed no debt. He hung there as the sinless Lamb of God, without blot, without blemish. The only man who ever lived who knew no sin. In other words, he was the only man who ever walked this earth who was perfect. Perfect. Perfect in his love, perfect in his deeds, perfect in his walk, perfect in his talk. Perfect. And what did the world award him? The world awarded him the cross. The gift the world gave the Lord Jesus was the cross, to put him to death. We need to learn a great lesson there, because the world will pretend to be friendly with Christians. They will pretend to be the friends and want us to be the friends of the world. But just as the world's gift to Christ was the cross, this verse teaches, and may God help us to understand, that our gift to the world needs to be the cross. Our gift to the world. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this book of Galatians, he's dealing with what is commonly referred to as the Judaizers. They insisted that to become a Christian, you had to go through this token of the covenant of Israel, circumcision, in order to get to God. Just so I can give just a little background of that, would you hold your place again here in Galatians and turn with me to the book of Genesis? And we want to read in Genesis chapter 17 of the matter of circumcision. This is what put a Jew into the Abrahamic covenant. When the Jew died, he went to the bosom of Abraham. At least that's the way they talked about it. And this token, this covenant, the keeping of this covenant, put them in that Abrahamic covenant. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, as God speaks to Abraham, in verses 9 and following, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And every Jew entering into that Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham went through this circumcision. Now, there were Jews who followed Paul around, insisting that you couldn't get to God without this circumcision. In other words, let's add something to it. If you're going to get to God, it has to take this to get to God. And perhaps later in this series, we'll talk more about circumcision, because we'll have occasion to do that with propriety at the proper place as we travel through the book of Galatians. But Paul insisted that was not the message of the new covenant. Turn with me just for a moment in the New Testament. We could read it in the gospel records as Jesus introduced the new covenant. This is the new covenant, he said, in my blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. Not the Old Testament or Old Covenant, but the New Testament or New Covenant. That's what we've entered into. In the blood of Jesus Christ, God made a covenant with his people Israel, and they were attempting to keep the law. The token of that covenant was the circumcision of these male Jews. But the new covenant we've entered into is between God the Father and God the Son. I hope you understand this. Read meditatively, please, on your own, at your leisure, and take the time to meditate upon it. The 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus as he talks about this covenant. But as we observe the memorial supper the Lord gave us, in this memorial supper, every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we talk about this covenant. Typically, I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll open your Bible there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm trying to help you and help myself in understanding again what we have in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we have. No merit I bring. I couldn't get to God. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get to God. But God, praise his holy name, God came to me in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And there's so many confused Christians who are trying to do everything imaginable to get to God. Listen, you already have him and he has you. If you've been born again, it's because you have him and he has you that you do what you do. But we're in this new covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament." And allow me, please, to read it this way. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You show the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is battling this. Everywhere he'd go, they'd follow him. Everywhere he'd go, they'd follow him and try to disrupt what he'd tried to do. And the devil's still trying to add things to what God says nothing can be added to if you know Jesus as your Savior. We're safe in him, praise his holy name, forever. If you'll go back with me, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Before we launch into this, I want to show you the spirit of the Christian life. And let's use this as a gauge for our lives. Everything the preacher says is meaningless unless it becomes personal. I'm saying not only to the people who listen to the preacher, but to the preacher who's doing the preaching. Is this our spirit? Read this beautiful sixth chapter. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," read it, restoring. You know, if we're living a spiritual life, there's something obvious about it. You know what's obvious about it? It's Christ-like. It's Christ-like. And here is the spirit of the Christian life in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." In other words, the best thing anybody could ever run into ought to be a Christian. Listen now. The best person anybody could ever see should be a Christian. Be a Christian. Listen. Let God speak to your heart. I'm trying to pour out my heart to you because there's a great deal of confusion, even in this church. Some of you are terribly confused and you spend your life trying to get God to like you when he already loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. Let me say it like this. You spend your life trying to get God to like you when he already loves you with an everlasting love. And this business of saying to Paul and the Galatians, you've got to be circumcised before you can, you've got to add something to Jesus. It can't just be Christ and Christ alone. So they insisted that this be done. Now, before we get into it, do you sense this spirit in your life? Could you put your name in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6? "As I have therefore opportunity, I seek to do good unto all men." Is that what we have coming out of our mouths and from our actions? No. No. Some seek to harm others. Some seek to destroy others. Some seek to discredit others. You say, well, I think we should cry out against evil. Oh, I do too. But you cry out against evil and you are praying that those who are participating in it will come to the cross and be changed and made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm just saying to you, I could stay here if we could suffer through it physically. I could stay here for a week with this church and this pastor and this staff and with these deacons and with these leaders and into the faces of men and women I'm looking into and saying, you and I need to work on having the spirit of the Christian life, which is the spirit of Jesus Christ. And you know it's true. Well, we let everything imaginable upset us and we cry out against people and we don't care what happens to them. If you've been to Calvary and have had a fresh experience at the cross, that will never be your attitude. It will not be. You see, I love the fact that I am a fundamentalist and I've been led there by my convictions about God's Word. I'm not too pleased with fundamentalism today and many of the voices of fundamentalism and all their usurping of the authority of a local church and that kind of thing. But I'm happy to declare that I'm a fundamentalist. I take God's Word as it is for men as they are, and I'm thrilled with that. But there's too much of that without the love of Jesus in my life and your life. Well, let's mark just a few things, please. Now, we're not going to get finished because you notice in the bulletin I have two sermons I'm preaching from this, so breathe a sigh of relief. I want you to write down this word, glory. Glory. And you may want to put after that word, whose. Whose. Whose glory? Well, if you've been to Calvary, you want the glory to go to Jesus. At least you ought to, and I ought to. If you haven't been to Calvary, you want the glory to go to yourself. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 11, 12, and 13, would you? You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand? Now, Paul had the practice of using a secretary to pen the things the Spirit of God gave him to pen. And we believe in the God-breathed Word of God. And God gave the man of God these words to pen. And someone would write and pen, but he evidently has taken the pen in his own hand. And with his poor vision, evidently poor vision, he writes in such a way that when they see the writing, he's saying to them, I took the pen in my hand, and this is what you see, these big letters. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. And by the way, before we just stop and lay into the Judaizers, the Spirit of God wants to lay into us. We want to make a show of our flesh. That's in our old nature. We want to be recognized. We want to be the person who's important. What's the cure for that? The cross. The cross is the only cure for that. There is no other cure for it. The cross. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, they've got to be right. It doesn't make any difference. They've got to be right, and this is what they say is right, and you have to do it so that you make them right. And if you do what they say, it makes them right because they say it, and they are proud of it. You know, we are known in a church like this for trying to do the right thing. And I'm glad. You know, we live in a world that's drifting. Sometimes I want to say it's running in the wrong direction. We all understand that. If our forefathers could come back and look at America now, they wouldn't recognize the country they gave their lives to form. They really wouldn't. We need a revolution back to the Constitution as far as a nation is concerned, just like Christians need a revolution back to the Bible. But we live in a world that's ever increasing, and because morality is drifting and ever moving to the left, laws are changing to adapt to that shifting, moving morality. What used to be considered against the law is no longer against the law because they didn't want everybody to be a lawbreaker, so they just legislated and changed laws. But the Bible never changes. And we are called upon to live by Bible standards in a God-hating world. They crucified Jesus. And if we are not careful, they infringe so upon us, the devil and his friends, the world and the flesh, they infringe so upon us that we don't want any criticism in the world, and so we want to be as much like them as possible. But if you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, we're new creatures. How do we deal with that? You say, someone may say, I just don't want to offend anybody. No, that's not it. Now, let's be honest. That's not it. It's not our offending of others. It's we're afraid we're going to be offended. And we don't want to bear that reproach. What do they think of you? What do they think of you? They ought to think of you what they think of Jesus. If you're a Christian, they ought to think of me what they think of Jesus. And we know Jesus is who they really need, but they don't recognize that without the supernatural work of the convicting work of God's Holy Spirit in men's hearts to convict them of their sin. So there's this battle for glory. This battle for glory cannot be won unless we die to self and we really want the glory to go to God instead of to us. Let's read on. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. So, there's this battle. Do you know sometimes I've seen preachers, now you pray for me, please, and pray that God will help me because I'm going to jump out here on some delicate territory. Are you ready? I'm going to get out here on something that's very delicate. I like it that people behave like Christians and speak like Christians, go to places Christians should go and not to places Christians shouldn't go. I love all of that. But we must always remember that we do that because we are Christians, not in order to become Christians. Right? And you can't expect people to do all those things to become a Christian. And I cannot expect people to do all those things to become a Christian. And so we get sometimes proud of ourselves and our church and our fellowship, really proud, because we get glorified in some things we shouldn't be trying to steal the glory in, because we just think, well, you know, this is our crowd. This is the way we live. This is the way we behave. Well, I want you to know, if we hadn't been to Calvary, we wouldn't be able to behave anyway in a way that pleases God or do God's work God's way. So it's a battle of glory. I look in the beautiful faces, and I've been looking into your faces for years, you children, and I pray for you. But why? Mother and daddy must say, I want my children to do the right thing because of what Christ has done for them and done for us. Not in order to get something from God, but because of what God has done for us. And I say to you that I believe I can show you from the Bible that I'll do more for the Lord because of what God has done for me than I would ever do trying to get God to do something for me because of the way I live. You know, we spend our lives serving the Lord like that sometimes the wrong way, because we say, I want to get God in on this. I got a good idea, and I want to get God on this. And we just pray, Lord, I want you to get in on this. But look, God is already working in the world. Amen. It's not trying to convince God to get in on our plans. You and I need to be discerning enough to get in on God's plans. He's already at work in the world. So we must deal with glory. Notice a second thing. We must deal with gain. Gain. What do we hope to gain from this? You see, if anybody ever tried the law, Paul tried it. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, will you? If anybody ever tried to just make it work, he tried. In other words, if you could work your way to God, brother, he made every effort. Listen to his own testimony in Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. You see, there are people who want to divide over unnecessary things. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I want you to mark that, no confidence in the flesh. Did you know where God's trying to bring every one of us to where we have no confidence in the flesh? Every one of us, especially me. Especially me. Can you imagine preaching 46 years? Now, let's bear with me for a minute. Here I go. What I know, having studied the Bible and prayed and preached and studied and taught for 46 years. And there's people who've done much better than I've done, but I want you to know, God is working in my heart always to bring me to the place where I have no confidence in the flesh. It's all dependent upon Him. And I praise God. I praise God for this authorized King James Version of the Bible that spells it out so clearly like this. And I have a reason for using it, and I want you to know why and use it. But listen to the language here. Have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Oh, you might have. Well, tell us about it. Well, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. You mean more? Yes, more. Well, explain that. Well, he says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's the way I lived. And I'd like to just put between verses 6 and 7 this big shout. But it did not get him to God. You and I must never fall into the trap of thinking ourselves or confusing other people to think that anything can get them to God. You can't add anything to salvation. It's Christ and Christ alone. And it's because of salvation that we want to live a holy life. It's because of Calvary that we want to serve the Lord and love the brethren and do the things God wants us to do. What things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. What do you think about it, Paul? You suffer the loss of all things. Well, he says, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, if anybody ever worked at it, I worked at it. Let me tell you, it won't work. If anybody ever tried, I tried. Let me tell you, it won't get you there. You have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to glory in? If you go back, please, to Galatians chapter 6. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth, that means it doesn't give you any gain, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I must be a new creature. We ought to make much more of what Paul wrote when he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sometimes we give people the idea that I can just start over here somewhere. I can just start over here somewhere and just keep working at it until I'm the best behaved Christian person and doing all the Christian things and attending all the church and all the church services and all the prayer meetings and reading the Bible habitually and all that. And I'm just, you can check everything off and I'm a wonderful Christian. Let me tell you, if it's me or you, you're a sorry, low-down, hell-deserving bum who ought to die and go to hell forever just like me. If you're trusting in all of that, you will die and go to hell forever because Christ and Christ alone is the Savior. And when you realize it's Christ and Christ alone, you're not going to keep glorying in all your deeds. And you're not going to start thinking you've gained everything from those things. Because all that's dung, all that's but dung, that's animal waste. It's compared to Christ. May the Lord help us. Then the word is grace. Would you write that word down? Grace. Where does this book start, Galatians? Where does it start? It starts in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you. Grace. This unmerited favor, grace, it's a gift. It's unmerited favor. You can't make it happen. It's the grace of God extended to us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Look, I believe you ought to attend church faithfully. I believe, look, you wouldn't believe some of the things God's led me to about the way I ought to live separated to Him and from the world and places not to go and all this. But I want you to know every bit of it is because of the change Christ has made in my life. Evelyn and I got married many, many years ago, and I made a commitment to God when I married her to be faithful to her 46 years ago. And that eliminated all other girls. And all other boys for her in that relationship of marriage. What God designs in marriage. That was quite a day. And I'm free to do anything that marriage covenant allows. In that covenant with her. But there are things and people prohibited to me if I intend to keep that covenant. Now, I want you to know, I'm not going to lose my salvation, but when I came to Jesus, He saved me and saved me forever. But because He changed my life, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the reason for all of that. And I found out He wanted me to identify with Him in believer's baptism. No questions asked there. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. No questions there. I want to be faithful in the church. It was His desire that I represent Him well. And so, any lewdness or those kinds of things, no questions there. I found in His Word that He wanted me to even dress modestly. And no questions there. And there are many, many other things I could say, but it's all because of Calvary. Not instead of Calvary. I do want to be a happy Christian. And I don't feel like I'm all bound up. I really don't. And I don't want any of you bound up. And by the way, any standard I may have could be a little off target. The commandments, clear commandments, are to be obeyed. And by the way, the commandments, all the law is given to us to recognize that we need Jesus. We need Jesus. But I praise the Lord for what I have in Him. Look, our glory is in Him. Our gain is all in Him.